If you are looking for even more help and guidance on your breakup, I have a few different options for you to take your healing to the next level. I have 4 different online courses depending on what stage of the breakup that you're in, from beginning all the way into moving on after heartbreak. Or you can bundle all of my courses together and use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. I also have my 30-day no contact challenge to help hold you accountable in going no contact with your ex. And we have our free Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with other people going through breakups all over the world. To learn more about any of these resources, head to the show notes where you can learn more about my courses, take the quiz to figure out which course is best for you, or join the Facebook group. And don't forget to use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. Welcome to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast with your host, Breakup Bestie, aka me, Kendra. Breakups are hard, but you don't have to do it alone. Each week, I will be taking you through a different topic as it relates to breaking up, healing from heartbreak, growing in your single life, dating, and getting back into happier and healthier relationships. The goal of this show is to provide support, hope, tips, and to remind you that above all, this too shall pass. Welcome back to another episode of the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. Today I have Topaz Adizes on the show. He is the director of the interactive documentary, The And. You can see episodes of that on Instagram and YouTube. And the approach he did to the documentary actually won an Emmy. And he is also the founder and executive director of The Skin Deep, where he has different card games, a book, 12 Questions of Love. And we had really such a great conversation on this episode. We talk about the power of questions, and not only the power of questions and deepening relationships, but how to ask the right questions and how we tend to not ask ourselves and others the right questions, and how we tend to just get stuck in these loops of negative thinking or just stuck in the same patterns within relationships and in our own minds. And so we talk about, what does intimacy really mean? And how do you build that with yourself, with others? And then I kind of get into some of the things that I've been experiencing in my marriage. And I, you know, end up opening up to Topaz about what that's been like and how some of the advice that he gave around setting intentions versus setting agendas was really powerful to me and my current situation. So we kind of take a turn there. But it was a really good episode and a really powerful episode, not only for those of you who are exploring new relationships, but also just how to form a better relationship with yourself and how to practice building intimacy with yourself and others before you embark on a new relationship. So I recommend everyone follow Skin Deep on Instagram. I'll link it in the show notes to see these productions he puts together and being able to see people having these really beautiful conversations. So that's it from me. I hope you enjoy Topaz. Welcome, Topaz, to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. So excited to have you on and to explore your topic of expertise.
Thanks, Kendra. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So my first question is, what inspired you to start looking at the role of deep questions when it came to building and deepening relationships?
I mean, I think I've been searching that for a long time as a kid, as a filmmaker. I just wanted to have something that I felt was real. I think it comes from a family. I grew up in a family, divorced parents, and very young, just was questioning, like, where's the connection here? Where's the intimacy? And I think I've just had that in me.
Yeah.
And I've always been interested in that. I don't really know why, but that's, I like it when you're in a space with someone, emotional space, and you can feel them push back. You can feel their presence. You can feel that they're there. Like, that pushback reminds me of my own presence. Right? Then I'm there. Because at the end of the day, it feels, I remember being single, walking the streets in New York and having this motto pop in my mind. It was here in Soho. And I was just like, life is just moments of love and bouts of loneliness.
Wow. Yeah.
And I don't know why, but that moment of connection is something that I've always been searching for.
Yeah. And I feel like that's been something that's been coming up for me a lot lately, is just the feeling of really being seen. I just don't know if I ever really thought too much about it, but I think maybe it's just as I'm getting older, but I'm just realizing like that is probably the most like intimate thing someone can do for me is to see me, like to really see me. And I don't think I ever valued that as much before, but I was going to ask, like, what do you think some of the misconceptions we have around the topic of intimacy? I think intimacy is such a, for some people, it means sex. For some people, it means just something that happens romantically. But I feel like it's so much more than that.
Absolutely. I think there's many forms of intimacy with many kinds of people. And I think that's a thing to explore. I think one of the biggest misconceptions is that you fall in love and therefore it all works. So the misconception is that intimacy is not something you practice. It's something that you fall into. Mm-hmm. I think that's a misconception. I think intimacy is something that you practice. You practice asking quality questions. You practice sitting in the discomfort of great questions. You practice holding the space and listening to whoever you're speaking to that you're intimate with, answering that and allowing them to answer it and listening, even if it makes you feel vulnerable because maybe they're reflecting how you made them feel or your relationship. But holding that space and listening, because that is in itself an act of seeing, right? If we're in a relationship and, you know, we were talking about when I make you feel uncomfortable or where you feel judged by me, and then you open up and you start sharing that with me. For me not to get defensive, for me to hold the space and to listen and to take that in, that is an act of appreciating you and seeing you. Now, I don't necessarily have to agree with it. We don't have to get to a resolution, but it's about holding the space. And I think one misconception is intimacy is it's a practice. It's something that we learn and that we can learn. And so then the question is, where do we learn it from? We model it. We model it from our family and from our friends group. And now part of what our conceit is, let's film as many conversations as we can, all kinds of relationships, and offer that to people so that they can learn from more than just their family and the friend group. They can learn from over 1,250 pairs of what we filmed for the last 12 years. I'm talking about the AND project that we've done. But I think that's one misconception. And the other one is also just that acknowledgement that vulnerability is not just in the one who's sharing. It's also the one who's listening.
Interesting. Can you talk a little more about that?
If you and I have a conversation and you're sharing about how I make you feel judged or anything, right? What's a challenge to say, well, when we have this dynamic in our relationship, for me not to go to disagree, for me not to try to fix it, for me not to kind of get in there, instead to hold the space and to listen, because obviously it's vulnerable for you to share that with me, but it's also vulnerable for me to hear it, to hold the space so you can express yourself and to receive it. And all the time when we speak of vulnerability, immediately think about the person who's sharing. We should also acknowledge a person who's holding the space for the sharing, because it might be also an act of courage for them because they're taking it in and allowing it without responding, allowing you to express yourself and receiving and saying, thank you, I hear you. Therefore, I see you. Therefore, hopefully it's a sense of a love. It's an act because I'm seeing you.
Yeah. And I feel like the term holding space, and I know it comes from like the Cynthia Erivo, Ariana Grande interview where everyone's talking more about this concept of holding space. I love what you said, because it can be a very vulnerable thing for the person who is listening and who is just taking it in and maybe can't respond or doesn't know how to respond. And that can be, you know, a hard position for someone to be in. So I think that's an important distinction too.
And not even responding, just listening. And hopefully listening not with the brain, not with the mind. That's like active listening. We often use that word where you're trying to think of your response or what to say back. No, listening with your body. You're feeling to listen. I call it deep listening. So you're taking that in and you're having another kind of conversation because you're not responding with the mind that's built to protect us, but you're responding with the heart, with the body that's built to connect us. Then that act is also a vulnerable one. And I just think that's also should be acknowledged. It's helpful to acknowledge that, because if you do, oftentimes you'll acknowledge the one who's sharing courageously. But if we also acknowledge the one who's listening courageously, then reinforce that space and that practice so we can do more of it. And that's where I go back to the misconception of like intimacy is a practice, something that you can do and learn and get good at.
Yeah. I hear a lot about people who they want to build more intimate connections, especially going through a breakup, with people that are not a romantic partner because they're in a space where they don't have a romantic partner at the moment. And I had a moment one time I was at like a social function where I didn't really know a lot of people. And I just got into the space of like, I'm just going to listen. Like, I'm just going to be a good listener to like people. I don't necessarily have to add anything. And I listened to the thing of like, you don't have to add anything. You can just listen. And I remember I walked away and this woman came up to me and said like, I had such a good time with you. And I walked away and I was like, I didn't even say anything. Like, I wasn't funny. I wasn't witty. All I did was listen. And that stuck with me so much because I was like, that was the value I brought to this function. And that was great. And it's, you know, especially for someone who's like nervous or has social anxiety, sometimes listening is just adding so much value to an event or a conversation.
I couldn't agree more. I think listening is something that we should all practice more of.
Yeah.
Both in the content that we make, but also in the way that we be with others. Because I think we talk a lot and we don't listen enough.
And in the kind of talking about like the secondhand listening here, what's been the biggest thing you hear value-wise from people who watch the and or hear those conversations? Like, what's the biggest thing that you think it's providing people?
Well, speaking about the people who participate in the and, who fly across the country. We just did a film production in early January during the fires. It was pretty crazy, apocalyptic. But we did 3 days and 40% of the pairs were flying in from across the country, which is why we did it. We said we're in a safe place for the crew, but we said, wow, if 40% of these pairs are coming in, flying in from Massachusetts and Florida, and mind you, we don't pay anyone. We don't pay for travel. We don't pay for them. They, on their own, they came out to have a 1 hour and 20 minute conversation, which is a huge honor and responsibility that we don't take lightly. And we really honor that. What they say is, it's awesome to have a conversation we would not have had otherwise. And I think that happens because, well, what I know happens is how to build it is you build the space. And I can say what that means, but you create the space and you ask well-constructed questions. And then you can have an incredible conversation. And when you have an incredible conversation, it illuminates a different thread of your connection. It illuminates a different reflection of who you be in that relationship, who you are in the synergy of your connection. And that reinvigorates your sense of being alive because relationships are reflections, right? And they are a dance. They're a dance of your own emotions in synergy with someone else's emotions and patterns and stories. But that's what I've heard back is that, thank you. This was an incredible, you know, we've never had that conversation or we've never articulated that in that way or understood that. And now when we're walking away with a much deeper connection to one another. And that makes us feel like we're living a richer life.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's why people are flying across the country to do it. I mean, we're doing one in New York this weekend and same thing is happening. And to me, it's just such an honor, such a responsibility to hold the space without like making it heavy or dramatic or foo-foo. It's just very accessible. And we just do it with respect and non-judgment, basically. Just hold the space and what we can talk about what that means and ask really good questions.
Yes. So let's get into what does it look like to create that environment? Because I think, I don't know, especially talking to people who are going through, who just are coming out of breakups, I think it's pretty easy to be like, oh, shoot, if we could only have had these conversations, it wouldn't have happened. And it's more so like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I do believe like it really does take two very willing participants to have those kind of conversations. So I would love to hear like in a perfect world, what does it look like to have one of those conversations?
Well, what does it take? What does it look like?
Yeah. What does it take?
Does it take? Okay. Number one, you can't do it if you don't have the space. And what does the space mean? There has to be safety, but don't confuse safety with comfort. If I'm going to go bungee jumping, in theory, I'm safe because these guys have been, thousands of people have jumped. They test the rope or the bungee cord or whatnot. So in theory, I'm safe, but I'm definitely uncomfortable because I'm about to jump off a bridge. And when I'm done with that bungee cord jump, I'll be like, wow, so reinvigorated. I've never flown through the air like that. And wow, that was amazing. Right. And my life is that much richer. Same thing in a relationship. Am I in a safe place? Do we have trust? Do we have respect? Are we going in the same direction? Do we have some values that are under the basis of our relationship that we both share? And in that space, am I uncomfortable? Because if I'm uncomfortable, that means I'm growing and I'm learning. Years later, 3 weeks later, you break up because you're not growing together or it's too boring or you went separate ways. Why? Because we weren't touching base with each other. So just are you in a safe place and don't confuse that with safe, with comfort and discomfort. You want to be safe, but you want to be uncomfortable, right? That's one. I think in the scope of relationships, when you're in them and when you're in the breakup, I just want to remind people, and this is, look, this is someone who's for the last, I'm now starting my 12th year of having the honor of holding the space where we bring in two people into a room. And there's all kinds of relationships. So grandparents to their grandchildren, exes, we have a bunch of exes done it. People dating, people married, people becoming parents, best friends, everything, right? They sit down and they have a conversation. I give them questions and then we sit for an hour and 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and we watch them have a conversation. So my data set is over 1,250 pairs over the last 11 years, now in our 12th year watching. That's an honored position because they're having these incredible conversations and I get to watch that in a real, vulnerable, intimate, real way. And that's taught me that the question is the answer. The question is the answer. And what I mean by that is that the answer that you get is shaped by the question that you ask. If you're in a breakup, you just broke up and you're saying, why did they dump me? That question is going to fetch you answers that may not necessarily be constructive and give you agency and empowering. Right? If instead you ask the question, all right, what have I learned from that last relationship that I'll carry to my next? Or what have I learned from that relationship that I'll let go of that I'll carry to in the next relationship? Whatever it is, don't focus on the answer. Focus on the question and ask quality questions that fetch you quality answers that you can actually do something with. God knows when I was in my 20s and 30s dating, I do remember many times, why did she dump me? And I would be grieving for God knows how long. And then one day, I remember vividly, it was here in New York, was getting the subway, why are they dumping me? And I was about to go to play with my friends in Grand Central Park. I was thinking, oh my God, I'm going to ask that question. I'm going to be so depressed for the rest of the day, for the next week. Let me change the question. How full out did I play in that relationship? And did I leave anything on the table? Or did I reserve? How was I in that relationship? And how would I be in the next one? Okay. Well, I played full out here or here. I was not really vulnerable. I didn't play full out. So what am I going to carry the next one? And those questions fetched me more quality answers. That gave me a sense of empowerment and agency that then helped me move on to the next one.
I love that.
Yeah, that's what I really want to share is that we are always answering questions, but we're not cognizant of like, oh, I just asked a question. So instead, go, no, I got to do that shitty thing today. Oh my God, stop. Go, wait. Okay. Of all the shitty things I have to do today, what's the one thing that's going to be amazing? What's the one thing that's going to teach me an incredible lesson that I'll really be grateful for? Then your mind is going to go fetch an answer. It's going to go look for it. So if you're in a heartbreak right now and you're in pain and you're trying to find answers, stop for a moment and check the question that answer that the things you're telling yourself are answering. What's the question that is answering? And then change the question.
I think that's so, so powerful. That's one of the biggest complaints I hear from listeners of this show is, how do I break out of that loop of obsessive trying to find the answer, trying to figure out where it went wrong? And I think some people might listen to this episode and think, okay, I'm going to find the exact conversation or the exact question that I should have had with my ex to fix everything. But it's not about that. I really like the idea of empowering questions.
And one lesson, I mean, I didn't find my life partner until I was 42. And that means there were quite a number of breakups and there were quite a number of broken hearts and quite a number of incredible love affairs. And one realization I came to for myself was, well, the partnership I want is kind of going to be like on a soulmate level. That's the universe will bring it to me. And then I realized, well, if that's the case, I'm not as big as the universe. I can't make it happen. All I could do is prepare myself, play the game as best I can, so that when the universe does bring it to me, I'm ready to fully engage. Therefore, when I realized that, it took the pressure off of me of like, this has to work. This has to be it. What the emphasis became on, I'm going to play full out in the way that I want to play in the relationship, and the universe will help me find the right match. So if this one doesn't work out, what did I learn from that dance with that partner?
Yeah.
And when the song was over, okay, there's going to be another song. There'll be another partner. But I've learned how to dance here. And what have I learned that's quality dancing that I can gives me more embodiment and more courage and more vulnerability and more articulation and reflection of my own patterns that I have to feel for myself in the next relationship. And it's just another dance to get better. You know, I'm living in Uruguay now, and they're well known for the home of the tango. The tango is this amazing dance, much like salsa, but much slower, actually a lot more intuitive. The first time I get on that dance floor, I can promise you, I'm not going to be very good. Second time, maybe a little bit better. Third time, a little bit better. And God knows, every partner is a little different. Sometimes you dance with someone and it's amazing. You think you're a pro, then you go with dance someone else and actually it just doesn't jive.
I appreciate that you keep bringing it back to that intimacy as a practice, because it's so many people coming out of breakups, especially, they'll go on one or two dates and they'll just say, well, I'm doomed. I'm never going to find a connection like that with my ex. And so they're just comparing connections and they're not giving it at all the chance to build it. And so, and you touched on this a little bit of just intimacy is something that is built over time and it's a practice. But what advice do you have for someone who is, I don't know, maybe feels like they're starting from scratch when it comes to like intimate connections coming out of a breakup?
Mm-hmm. My advice is be gentle on yourself. You know, I think part of that, for me, when I had breakups, one of the things that was hardest for me was that all those memories that we had together, that identity of who I was and I experienced myself as in connection with this other person, was lost. I felt like gone. You know, you have these memories with them and you have these ways of being with them, and then you break up and that synergy, that unique way of being, that's only because of your unique connection, is gone. And that was kind of what I was painful for me. And I guess one other reminder for me now that I have a married and I have two kids, is that there's also going to be another breakup here. And it might not be a breakup in the sense of divorce. It might be a breakup of death. At some point, everything is a breakup. And then, so the question is, even if you find your life partner forever, that also is going to be a breakup, because one of you is going to die.
Yeah.
You know, and God knows. And also, there's going to be a breakup in the sense of who you were in year one is different than who you are in year five, is different than who you are in year 10 when you got three kids and you have no time for each other. That love will change. That connection will change. It's constantly transforming. So what is the question we're asking ourselves? Is it a breakup or is it a transformation? Is it a curse or is actually a gift? This person that you set your dreams with and you're engaged to, but then some reason it didn't work out, maybe that was actually a gift.
Yeah. And when I was watching videos this morning, there was a question that is really going to stick with me. And it was a couple. And the question was, what do you think life is teaching us right now? And oh my gosh, that one really stopped me in my tracks. And I think that's such an important question. And, you know, I'll phrase it to everyone who's listening to this. Like, what do you think life is teaching you right now? And I love that, because it's not like you can go into like, life's teaching me I suck. That's not what it is. It's empowering, like you said. And I just love this idea of like turning questions around to feel empowered.
Absolutely. I mean, for me, I see it like I'm throwing a stick to a faithful dog, and that faithful dog is my mind. Wherever I throw that stick, that dog will go chase it down. I don't care if I throw it into a muddy pond or to a trash pile or up on a beautiful hill. It doesn't matter. Wherever I throw that stick, that dog is going to chase after it. And that dog is your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So be conscientious of where you're throwing the stick.
Yeah.
Where are you throwing that stick? Where is the question that you're asking? Because then that dog will fetch you that stick. And that stick can be empowering or it can be full of mud and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like that you can't do anything, you can't work with, right?
Yeah.
So don't spend so much time on the answer, especially if the answer is not getting you, not offering you a constructive way to learn and grow. Instead, ask a quality question. If you're in a relationship, like, what did that relationship teach me? What do I think life is trying to teach me? What did I do in that relationship that I really appreciate and love and my courage that I'll carry to the next? In my next relationship, what will I do more of? What will I do less of?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that just made me realize, like, when people come to me and say, how do I stop obsessing about my ex? That's not the right question. You're asking the wrong question, which I love. That's like a very light bulb moment for me to realize, like, people are just asking themselves the wrong questions. I was going to ask, like, what advice do you have for someone to get through that discomfort? Because I do think, like, a situation that I come across a lot from listeners is people will say, I maybe knew that this was not the right relationship, but I was afraid to ask the question because I didn't want it to end. And therefore, I'm in this not even relationship. Sometimes it's like a situationship or something for years. And it was because I was afraid to ask the question. Like, do you have advice for that?
But when you say I want to ask the question, what was that question? Like, do you want to get married or what do you mean? Why are we not?
Yeah. Where do you see this going? Do you believe in marriage? Do you see yourself wanting kids someday? I mean, I know I've fallen into that where I've ended up in situations full well knowing I want kids and knowing that the other person probably doesn't, but I'm too scared to ask.
Right. No, then number one, ask yourself quality questions. Have a clear idea of what it is that you want. And it's not confusing with I want this house and I want that car and I want this family structure, because what's underlying the want is really, what do you want to experience? And I mean that emotionally, right? That's really what it is what is it that you want to experience emotionally? I want to create safety and discomfort. I want to feel invigorated and alive and challenged. And I want to, what is it that you want to feel as you experience? And then my soul wants to have a journey as a parent so that I can have that. I know what it's like to have friends, but like having a child and that reflection, that responsibility, I want that. Okay. When you're kind of have clear of how you want the being that you want to experience, and of which you can also say, well, I can't be a mom now, but the being of feeling fulfilled and confident, I can practice that now, right? Or the sense of love, I can start doing that now with myself, right? Being, what are those things that are kind of the underlying values of what it is that you want to experience? Then you start looking for your partners that want to play the same game. It's like we're all on the playground at recess in third grade. And some of us are playing kickball and some are playing tag. Some are playing with the dolls. Some are painting. Some are, I don't know, doing different things. But what game do you want to play? And are you playing it? And maybe you're playing a game you don't want to play because you think that's what you should play, or for some reason you're playing over here kickball when you really want to be painting, whatever it is. Giving an analogy here of find the game you want to play. Find the way you want to be, the values that are important to you, and be in those, and then allow the universe to bring you the people that also want to play that game instead of going out and searching for other games and maybe seeing, do I fit in this game? No. Play by the values in the values and be the best at playing that values that you are and the being that you want to have. And then believe me, the universe will bring you people who want to play that game too. Do you know what I'm saying? Does that resonate?
Yeah.
That's been my experience.
One of the most frustrating things for me is when I feel like I'm taking really good care of myself and doing everything right, sleep, water, movement, eating well, and I still feel so blah. Bloating, low energy, irritability. It feels like there had to be something more going on. And that's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. Just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And the best part is after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. I took the quiz and found out that I'm likely going through estrogen dominance and not metabolizing it well, which can explain my chronic fatigue, overwhelm, bloating, and anxiety. And the quiz recommended Hormone Harmony, which is an herbal formula that fine-tunes the hormonal system. It doesn't just help with estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. It also helps with stress hormones like cortisol, which is a little troublemaker. We often think we need big lifestyle changes to feel better, but in reality, small habits like taking Hormone Harmony every day can have a huge impact on how we feel. Ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code HEARTBREAK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code HEARTBREAK for 15% off today. Have you heard of NAD Plus? If your Instagram feed is anything like mine right now, NAD Plus is everywhere and people are raving about it. NAD Plus is a powerful peptide found in every cell of your body. It fuels energy production, supports cellular repair, and plays a key role in slowing the aging process. And it's one of the most exciting breakthroughs in longevity and wellness right now. As we age, NAD plus levels decline, leading to fatigue, brain fog, and sluggish metabolism. That's where Effecty comes in. Effecty's NAD plus therapy helps restore those levels, giving you a natural energy boost, improved focus, and enhanced recovery, all with a simple injectable or a nasal spray for anyone wanting to go needle free. And the best part, it's 100% online. With fast shipping, no hidden fees, and unlimited access to licensed doctors, you can start feeling the benefits in no time. Since taking NAD Plus the past few weeks, I've noticed a huge difference in my energy levels and my ability to focus, which is a very big benefit for me and something I almost always struggle with. Ready to recharge your body? Right now, my listeners get $25 off NAD Plus longevity treatments at Effecty.com with code HEARTBREAK at checkout. That's EFFECTY.com. No hassles, no memberships, no hidden fees, just real results. Get started today. April is Earth Month, and if there's one thing I've learned and have tried to implement in the last few years, it's that quality is sustainability. If you think about it, when you invest in well-made, durable products, you're not just buying something that lasts longer, you're keeping waste out of landfills and reducing the need for constant replacements. And that's exactly why I love Avocado Green Mattress. Their mattresses are crafted with certified organic materials designed to stand the test of time, because sustainability isn't just about what we buy, it's about buying better. Avocado is not only crafted with certified organic latex, wool, and cotton, ensuring a safe, healthy sleep environment free from harmful chemicals and toxins, but they also have unmatched comfort and support for all sleep preferences. I need a soft mattress when I'm sleeping, and Avocado has everywhere from plush to ultra firm, depending on your needs. And I know many of you navigating your breakup, it might feel like it's time to switch out your bed. If you're struggling thinking about the bed you and your ex used to share, or at least shared a lot of time together, it might be time for a refresh. Head to avocadomattress.com today and save up to 10% on certified organic mattresses. Dream of better for you and the planet.
It resonates 100%. And yeah, and it goes back to, I was listening to you on another podcast, and you talked about this idea of intentions versus agenda. And I think that can apply here too, of like, if your agenda is just to find a relationship, you can do it. But like, I just can't imagine it's the kind of relationship where you can have these like conversations that that we're seeing on the end. But like, if you have the intention of, this is how I want to feel. So can you talk about that difference? I thought that was really powerful.
So that really applies to in terms of creating the space. And if you want to create a place that's safe, albeit uncomfortable, you have to engage with people's hearts and invite their hearts to have a conversation, to have a dance, not with the mind, because the mind is there protecting you, not connecting you. So if you go to, if you're having a conversation with someone and they go, you know, why do we fight so much? Or why do you not trust me? Or why did you not call me yesterday? The first instinct for them coming out is their mind to go, wait, wait, where's this coming from? Even the question, why do you love me? You come home, and your partner is there and goes, you ask your partner, or they ask you out of the blue, why do you love me? You don't know where that's coming from. So the thing that's responding is not, no, it's like, wait, where's this coming from? There's no context. So the question is, how do we create the context so that they know why you're asking the question? And so articulating your intention, which is your curiosity. The intention is, where are we starting from? The agenda is where we're ending up. If someone comes to you or you go to someone basically standing where you want to end up, I want you to apologize to me. I want you to admit that I'm right. I want you to admit to doing the thing that I want to do. That's what we're going to do. That's where we're going to go. I want you to get to that space. You're like, wait, okay, wait, wait, where's this coming? Why are we going there? But if instead you start from where you're starting at, which is the intention, hey, we had that disagreement yesterday. I'm really confused about what it is and I want to explore it. I don't know where we'll get to, but that's where we're starting. Mm-hmm. That invites the other person to actually connect, because you both don't know where you're ending up, but they know where you're starting from. And in a fundamental spot, way to create safe space to have these rooms of inquiry around well-constructed questions is to articulate your intention. And that is rooted in your curiosity. Ask that. Now, if you are in a relationship and you're creating that space and they're not stepping into it, that's a challenge, because maybe you want to be in that space. Flip side of it is, if they are stepping into it, don't expect them to behave and respond in the way that you want them to respond. What I mean by that is, sometimes we're in relationships where one person is really emotionally articulate and open and wants to talk and the other one doesn't. That's okay. part of the space is to create the space where people, where humans can be humans. People could be who they are, because maybe your love language is articulating and expressing while someone else's acts of service or gifts or, right, present. So creating the space where people could be them, but are they engaging with you in it to the best that they can at that moment? And are you letting them be who they are? So that's why one of the reasons for our game, right, we have all these additions of decks to play, is you have to ask every question, but you don't have to answer it. You don't have to answer it, because then they're not against the wall that they have to answer it. They can say pass. They have the right not to answer. And you who've invited them into the space, can you let them not answer it? Give them that freedom of expression? Hopefully, yes, you can. And why that is helpful is because then what you're saying is like, I don't have expectations of you to get to an agenda, to an end. I just have the intention of creating the space for us to have this experience. And then that means that they feel safer. So they're willing to do it again. And that's how it becomes a practice. Then we'll do it next week. Than the week after, right? That's, I mean, look, after doing this for 11 years, 1,250 pairs, what I've learned is it's not even about the answers, and it's not even about the responses. It's not about that. All it's about is, are you capable of sitting in the discomfort of the questions? So can you sit in the space, ask a question, look at each other in silence? You don't even have to answer it. Just sit there together for a minute, letting that digest. Each of you are obviously thinking in your head what this stuff is. The stuff is going to percolate. Those conversations will start coming up. Can you sit in the discomfort of the questions? Why is that important in your relationship? Because life is going to throw challenges your way to you as an individual and to you as a couple. Can you weather that storm? How do you practice weathering the storm? You sit in the discomfort now and you build resilience, right? I mean, that's why like makeup sex is great. Or your relationship afterwards, great. Because yeah, we had a challenge. We weathered the storm. We deepened our trust. We deepened our intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wait for the big things to hit the fan, shit to hit the fan for you to take on that challenge, because maybe you're not well practiced at it. Just do it one every week, every date night, you know, make sure you have those conversations and you don't have to force an answer. Just have to be clear. Are we sitting in the discomfort of the questions? Because we'll have those conversations. It'll come up. Become more practiced at that. So then when things really hit the fan, and you know, then you can weather that storm. And you have that built, that trust and that communication.
I feel like I was just in a therapy session. That was very poignant for me. And I don't know if this is oversharing on my own show, but, you know, my husband and I were, going back, like, I think we're kind of in that, like, transformation stage. We had 3 kids in under 2.5 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we have twins. And yeah, I mean, it's different. It's very different. And I think I'll call myself out. I think I'm not good at the like agenda versus intention. And maybe that's why it stuck out to me so much is like, yeah.
That's also because, I mean, I'm going to project here, but you have 3 kids. You need security and safety right now. You need to know that the nest is safe. So you need like straight answers, and I need to know like, yes, no, here, there.
Yeah.
Right. And that makes him feel more against the wall, and then he's not coming out. So yeah. It's both. Like in some sense, I mean, how old are your kids?
3 and 2 1-year-olds.
You're in the trenches. You are in the trenches of like World War I battle lines, like 10 yards a day going back. I mean, you guys are in it.
Yeah.
You're in it. I mean, I have 5 and a 2-year-old. Mm-hmm. And I don't have twins. I mean, I don't even know how you guys are doing it. I like kudos, hats off, easy on yourselves and like be patient, because I don't think people talk about this enough. Like you're in the trenches, It's muddy. And like, oh my God, there's no harder job than being a parent, especially a mom, especially if, you know, because respect to you both. And I just think like, you're going to come out the other side, but if you can steal away those date nights once in a while, and they're exhausting. But when you do, try to do something different that creates pause. And what I mean by that is that goes into a well-constructed question. So a well-constructed question gives you a pause or gives you a moment because you're trying to find the answer. So if your husband goes, how you doing? You probably have a very clear answer how you're doing. But if he goes, hey, what's the lie that we love telling ourselves in our relationship? When was the first time you knew that I knew I loved you? He's like, when was the first time you knew, Kendra, that I realized I loved you? So you're like, let me go find that moment. Because I know the first time I knew I loved you. That's uh-huh. how, you know, that question we know. When was the first time you knew I loved you? Oh, you love me. You'll know that answer. You've talked about that. Different answer. Kendra, what do you think is the hardest thing for me being your husband this last 2 weeks, this last month, or this last chapter of our lives? Oh, wait, you got to pause to put yourself in his shoes. Mm-hmm. Look at yourself from his perspective, which creates a little empathy and understanding. And then by you answering that question, there's a version where he's going to, not a version, but a part of that answer will give him a sense of being seen, which yeah. will let him relax a little bit, or vice versa. You know, you can ask him that question. What do you think is the hardest thing for me being your wife for the last month, 2 months, year, or since our kids were born?
Yeah.
So that'll be helpful on the date nights, right? Whatever you have, or even that moment where the kids are asleep and I'm like trying to drag my wife out to sit by the fire or do something, make a fire, even just not do something a little different, asking a little different question that then creates that pause. So we actually have to go find that answer. And then that sends a different type of beat of energy to our partnership. It illuminates a different part of our thread of our connection. So that gives me a little bit of energy, reminds me more of why we're together, reminds me more of the possibilities of what we can do together.
Well, I'm going to be buying the deck because we're actually have like our first weekend away since the twins were born next weekend. So I'm going to order those today.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That is huge.
Yeah.
You could get the healing. You could get the amusing. You could get the couples. You can get the long-term couples. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I'm like finally getting time away. I had a girls' weekend this last weekend and it is, I don't know, I don't want to put like stereotypes on stuff, but like the level of conversation that like I have with three other women over like a 3.5 hour dinner, I don't know, it is very different. I feel like
tell me. What is it's deeper or it's different than it's, with your husband or with men or what?
It is deeper. I would say it is like it's easier for me to go deeper in that way. And maybe it's because we're all moms and like we all know kind of what like we're all in this space of like we know the struggles that each other are having. And even thinking like I've been in AA for 12 years, like just like that ability to like I already see you. Like I don't see you fully. Like I do need to get to know you more. Oh, you're someone who's 30 days sober in AA, like I do see you in this particular way. So I don't know. Maybe that's me just making generalizations, but I do.
Wait. Like, you see me or you see one? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm confused.
Oh, I'm just saying, I feel like when there's something that bonds you, whether that's okay, new motherhood, all of us, at least two kids, or someone who's in early sobriety or someone who's in sobriety. Like, I just feel like I already am able to connect on this like deep level and then go from there. Whereas if I were to, I'm not even sure where I'm going with this. I just feel like in some ways it's easier for me to have these deeper conversations with certain people than it is with others.
Totally. And also look, the one with the father of your children and you're a husband, or the one you're parenting, you know, oftentimes it's the one that are closest to us that we're most vulnerable to explore because they are so vulnerable.
Mm.
Because there's so much at stake there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you'll open up to a stranger who's having a similar experience because the stakes are not high. You're not both invested in the same offspring, or the result of that conversation is not going to actually change anything in your life per se. But then you're talking with your husband where it's a big conversation. So the stakes are high, but with the flip side of that, which means the discomfort could be really high and maybe like the tension can be really high. But the flip side of that is that that's where most of the energy can be. That's where all the ingredients are. It's like, that's where all the gold is at. There's tons of gold there to surface up because, hey, this is the one that is really close to you in reflection. You guys have experienced a lot together. And isn't it interesting that the ones that are closest to us, we often take the most for granted?
Yeah.
Like when my book came out, 12 Questions for Love, asked a few friends, hey, are you going to read it? They're like, well, are you going to play it? Because it's kind of a playing experience. You ask these 12 questions to another, anyone who you're intimate with. But I asked my friends who are married. They're like, well, no, I've been married for 16 years, 18 years. I know everything about Matt. Wait, hold on a sec. Are you telling me you're the same person you were 16, 17 years ago? Are you telling me your relationship is the same it was? Why are you taking for granted that your relationship is there and you know everything and not exploring it? because it's the highest stakes to explore it, but yet that's where most of the nutrients are. You tap into that well or that gold mine, you're going to get a lot out. Hmm. But it's the most tenuous one. It's the risk is commensurate to the payoff.
Yeah. The whole like safety versus the discomfort thing is so powerful.
Yeah. If your husband comes home today and he's like, Kendra, I love you to the moon and back. You're the most important thing to me and our three kids, and telling you everything, opening up. Unfortunately, I don't think the first thing you do is like receive it. You're going to be wondering, where is this coming from? What happened? Yeah. Or yeah, if he comes home and goes, why do you love me? You're not going to start telling him. You're going to, wait, where is this coming from? So the space has to be created so that we can actually embark on answering the question and receiving the answer and not be wondering about the context. And that's why having a simple game is good. Or there's another tool I like to use to connect people, but there's a power in the one who's asking the question. So when there's a game of random questions, it takes away. Or there's a book that says, ask these 12 questions. It makes the conversation more one of equanimity because both are answering and not one is driving the agenda of why that question is being asked.
Yeah. I feel like I owe you something for a therapy session here, but.
Not at all. No. Kudos to you. Respect to you and your husband because you guys are in it. And
yeah.
Respect for being in it. And
thank you.
You're in the storm. You're on the front lines. And
I know it's crazy. I don't know why, but when after finding out we were having twins, I looked online. The divorce rate of multiple parents is so high. And I was like, I mean, we're not anywhere near any of that. It is crazy, like how much it changes.
But that's what's going to make the relationship. It's not when it's good times. It's when it's pressure, when it's hard. Yeah. And you see what you're made of and what he's made of and what you're made of together. And so in that sense, it's like, oh, great. This is not hell. This is actually wonderful gifts of training. And yeah, we're not going to be perfect. And yeah, it's going to be hard. But we're in it and we're doing it with as much grace as we can. And a seed of grace is worth so much more than a seed of abundance when you're in it. Because you can be like, oh, I love you, but there's no pressure. It's like, no, I love you and I hear you, even though what you're saying is pushing me, challenging me, making me feel uncomfortable. But like, respect to you for we're in it together.
Yeah.
Like it's easy to be there when the bullets are not flying. But when you're in the trenches and the bullets are flying, it's easy to start blaming each other. But no, we're gonna hold steady. So that effort is exponential there.
Yeah. I do feel like it's changed looking at breakups now. You know, when I'm talking to someone and they're telling me about why a relationship ended, so much more often now I wanna be like, this is good news, honestly. Like, I won't say that because I do think any kind of breakup is hard. But I think if things fell at this point, this early, without kids, without all this time, like, it's difficult. Just think about, like, an difficult relationship that you can't have conversations with or no willingness to go deeper. And then you throw kids into that. I don't know. It has changed my perspective on, like, you do need a really solid foundation before moving into like these more intense life stages.
I agree.
So I think I want to end with, how do you feel like someone can, I just think breakups are a really powerful time to get to know yourself, get to know other people, deepen connections in that way. In what ways would you recommend someone can like practice? How would you recommend someone takes this opportunity of a breakup to practice deepening their relationship with themselves and others before they get into another relationship?
So one is the questions you're asking yourself. Be really cognizant of the questions you're asking yourself. And maybe you're not even aware of the questions, but you just pay attention to the answers you're getting. And be like, wait, why am I getting those answers? What's the question that's begging that answer? Oh, that's the question I'm asking yourself? Let me change the question. So that's one. Two, sit in it. Sit in the grief. Sit in it. Don't push it away. Like so often, we put so much effort on pushing it away that the quicker way to get over it is to like sit with it. Don't put that effort to sit it away. Let it come. Sit in it. Grief in it. And then let it go. It's like meditation. Like the people think meditation is about not having thoughts. Meditation is the practice of letting go of thoughts. Mm-hmm. So the more effort you put on pushing it away, the more effort is required, the harder it is because you're pushing away. You're not going to push it away. It's going to come. Let it come. Sit in it. And then it'll go. Let it go. Right?
Yeah.
So that's one thing I would say is, and I remember I had a really big breakup with what I later called the emotional terrorist. And it was really hard. In the end, she cheated on me. And it was, and I remember I went to my friend and he's like, well, there's a lot of energy in that breakup, isn't there? There's a lot of emotional. You can use that. You can use that for your creative work. Like there's a lot of fuel there for transformation. So don't push it away. Let it in. Sit with it. Sit in it. Like utilize that energy to transform in the direction that you want to head. How do you know what direction you're going in? How do you know what are the markers of the journey or the path you're heading on? It's the questions you're asking yourself.
And I love the advice of sitting in it too, because if we're talking about practicing, if you want to be able to sit in the discomfort with a partner later on, like a good place to start is like learning how to sit with the discomfort with yourself. It's a lot lower stakes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So,
yep.
Well, thank you so much. This was so enlightening in more ways than one. And yeah, I recommend everyone go watch the full episodes are on YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube and Instagram. Yeah.
Okay.
At the Skin Deep. Look up the Skin Deep. And our products are all at theskindeep.com.
Okay. I'll link all that in the show notes. But thank you so much. Thank you for coming on. This was great.
Thanks for having me on, Kendra. I appreciate it.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you loved it, I hope you'll leave a review and share with your friends. If you're not already following me on Instagram, head to @yourbreakupbestie, where I'm sharing new content almost every day. To join our Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with thousands of people from all over the world going through breakups, head to the link in the show notes. And don't forget to check out my online courses for more in-depth help through your healing journey. I always end these episodes the same way, reminding you to be nice to yourself, stay connected with loved ones, and the biggest reminder is that this too shall pass. I promise.